I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's May 18th, and we have a lot to talk about. Foot drop, or drop foot if you prefer, is a common symptom of MS in which a person is unable to lift the front part of their foot. It's caused by ankle weakness, usually due to faulty communication between nerves in the brain and the foot. And when you experience foot drop, you significantly increase your chances of tripping and falling. On the other hand, if you walk around constantly hyper-aware of foot drop, you tend to raise your foot too high when you take a step, and that quickly leads to muscle fatigue and can even lead to hip or back problems. So no matter which way you look at it, foot drop is a problem that stands in the way of mobility. Now, imagine that your dad is living with MS, and he's experiencing foot drop. And imagine that you look at the aids that he's been prescribed and you realize that these aids that are designed to help him rehabilitate his foot drop have some inherent problems. What do you do? Well, if you're Pierre Luigi Mantovani, you get a couple of your buddies together, launch a company, and invent the next generation solution to rehabilitating foot drop. And just for good measure, your invention wins the Life Bulb and Bristol-Myers Squibb Addressing Unmet Needs in MS Innovation Challenge. Pierre Luigi is joining me as my guest on the podcast today, and he's giving us a sneak peek at EvoWalk, his company's functional electrical stimulation device that couples artificial intelligence and proprietary software to create a breakthrough in rehabilitating foot drop in MS. But before we get to my conversation with Pierre Luigi Mantovani, there are a few other things that you should know about. If you're a longtime listener, you might recall that last September, we talked about the Atlas of MS that was published by the MS International Federation. The Atlas broke down the global MS population by country and showed that 2.8 million people around the world are living with MS. Well, it turns out that was just part one of the Atlas of MS, and the MS International Federation has just recently published part two, which looks at how MS is diagnosed and treated. And this latest addition to the Atlas of MS reveals some unsettling findings. For example, research provides evidence that early diagnosis of MS leads to a better quality of life. However, the Atlas of MS points out that 83% of the countries surveyed have barriers that prevent the early diagnosis of MS. The most commonly reported barrier is a lack of awareness of MS symptoms among the public and among healthcare professionals. In low and middle-income countries, other barriers are also common, including the availability of qualified healthcare professionals, as well as the availability and cost of the diagnostic equipment and tests. When I first read this, I was reminded of my conversation on the podcast with Dr. Laura Mosumbaye, a physician and founder of the MS Association of Kenya. Dr. Mosumbaye talked about what it was like to live in a country of 50 million people, but fewer than 20 neurologists, and only one MRI machine to serve the entire country. When we talk about disease-modifying therapies, we often talk about them in terms of cost, but there are more significant obstacles to being treated with disease-modifying therapies than just cost. The Atlas of MS reports that experts in 14% of the countries surveyed reported having no licensed disease-modifying therapies for people with MS. This number increases to 60% of African countries and 70% of low-income countries. The Atlas also found that 25% of the countries surveyed do not use high-efficacy disease-modifying therapies, and this number increased to 50% of lower-middle-income countries and 100% of low-income countries. The Atlas of MS shows additional problems associated with continuous availability of disease-modifying therapies, meaning that even once you've been prescribed a disease-modifying therapy, problems associated with delivery, the reimbursement process, and ongoing testing to prove your eligibility all stand in the way of you receiving the right dose of the right medication at the right time. Part 2 of the Atlas of MS offers a global perspective on MS that can easily be overlooked or marginalized when you're living in a high-income, highly developed country. But the reality of living with MS in less economically developed countries serves as a wake-up call to do more in the way of providing effective MS treatment today, while creating global support for research initiatives like the Pathways to Cures initiative. If you'd like to review both Parts 1 and 2 of the Atlas of MS, you'll find a link in today's show notes. And if you've downloaded the free Real Talk MS app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, you'll find a copy of this latest edition to the Atlas of MS under the Bonus Content tab. Ozanimod, marketed as Zeposia, is an oral disease-modifying therapy that's been approved for treating people living with relapsing-remitting MS in the United States, Canada, and Europe, but not in England or Wales. Last week, NICE, or the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, issued its final decision that Zeposia will not be made available in England and Wales through the National Health Service. In past instances, NICE has issued preliminary decisions that seem to be efforts at negotiating better pricing for the National Health Service. And they've been successful in bringing pharmaceutical companies to the bargaining table to make MS disease-modifying therapies more cost-efficient. Once new pricing has been agreed upon but never admitted to, NICE has usually issued a final decision, overturning its original decision and making the now more affordable drug available. But not this time. For whatever reason, the final decision issued by NICE restated their original decision that while the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence accepted the data from the Zeposia clinical trial showing that Zeposia reduced MS relapses and brain lesions, they were unsure of Zeposia's ability to slow disease progression and was therefore not cost-effective for the National Health Service. The cost of MS disease-modifying therapies is a very real concern for individuals and for countries where the healthcare systems absorb the majority of the cost of medication. But living with MS can be challenging enough without having your government prevent you from gaining access to the most effective and efficient therapies. We can only hope that this scenario isn't one that's often repeated. Multiple studies have provided evidence that exercise helps people living with MS maintain function and proactively manage the effect of some MS symptoms. But sometimes just getting to a rehabilitation appointment can present logistical obstacles that keep people with MS from getting the rehabilitation that keeps them moving. STEP for MS is a study that's comparing the effectiveness of exercise training at the gym with at-home exercise training. And last week, I caught up with Brendan Truax, who's one of the exercise coaches in the STEP for MS study, and Bo Roberts, who's living with MS, and Bo has been a participant in the STEP for MS study. We had a short conversation about what STEP for MS was all about and Bo's pretty remarkable experience as a participant. In a moment, we'll hear my conversation with Brendan Truax and Bo Roberts. Brendan Truax is an exercise coach in the STEP for MS study at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, which is one of the study sites. And Bo Roberts is living with MS, and Bo's been a participant in the STEP for MS study. Brendan, Bo, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Brendan, maybe you can get us started by explaining what the STEP for MS study is all about.
Absolutely. So the STEP for MS study, which stands for Supervised versus Tele-Rehab Exercise Program for People with MS, is a multi-site clinical trial consisting of a 16-week exercise program designed specifically for people with MS. And what we're doing is we're comparing the delivery of this exercise program. So we have one group that was exercising in a traditional fashion in our research facility supervised by one of our exercise coaches. Then the other group is getting exercise program delivered to them via video conferencing at home. The idea is that if we can provide the resources such as equipment, exercise education, and exercise coach guidance, that we can bring the exercise essentially to people at home and reduce the barriers such as transportation issues, inadequate or unaccommodating facility issues, and exercise education awareness.
Those are really important issues. I know that sometimes the logistics of just being able to get to the right place to get that exercise is enough to get in the way and keep people from participating. How long have you been involved in this study?
So I've actually been involved since January 2019 when the study picked up. In fact, Bo and I started training together in spring 2019. He was among my first participants. We were aiming for 400 participants in this study, and we just hit our 320 participant mark, or 80% of our goal.
And that means that people listening to us have an opportunity to become participants if this sounds like something they could be involved in, yes?
Absolutely. We are recruiting across 8 different sites across the U.S., so there's a good chance that if an individual is interested, they can get involved.
And we'll go ahead and be sure to leave a link in today's show notes so people can visit the site, take a look at the study, and go ahead and register to participate. Bo, I want to ask you, what made you decide to get involved with this?
Actually, I started with Lakeshore quite a while back, and I've been involved in several UAB programs since. I guess it's around 2014. I try to stay active as much as I can. You can't let MS control your life.
Well, what can you tell me about your experience participating in this program?
Well, it helped me out. I lost quite a bit of extra fat, you know, so I think I dropped about 14 pounds during the period of time that we were doing this exercise program. And I pretty much maintained most of it off of me.
Well, congratulations. Awesome. I say that's the hard part. Overall, could you feel different physically as you kind of went through this program?
Yes, I could feel differently after I went through it. Brendan can pretty much say that I increased.
Our study tends to focus on individuals who with MS who have walking impairment. And so one of our focuses is increasing walking speed and walking time. And in the beginning, we started around 10 to 15 minutes. And Bo actually increased that walking time to about 45 minutes without a rest period. And his walking speed increased considerably, too. He made a lot of progress. It was remarkable to see it.
Well, congratulations again, Bo. Brendan, what would you say to someone who's listening to us right now and they're wondering whether they should register to participate in this study?
I would encourage anybody who's interested in participating in the study to go ahead and do so. Reach out to one of our research coordinators and see if they qualify for the study and get involved. They can get involved and may perhaps benefit from the study.
Well, let me ask you, Bo, what would you say to someone who's wondering whether they should participate in the study?
This is a disease I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy because it's hard to understand. If you don't control yourself, the MS will control you and take you with it. So the best thing to do is take care of yourself and the MS at the same time.
Wise words. Brendan Truax and Bo Roberts, I want to thank you for helping researchers learn more about the most efficient and effective ways for people living with MS to exercise. And thanks for talking with me today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
There are situations when an individual has an MRI because of other symptoms like chronic headache or concussion, and the MRI happens to reveal lesions that look like multiple sclerosis. But a neurological exam reveals that this particular individual has no past or current neurological symptoms or abnormalities. This condition is classified as radiologically isolated syndrome, or RIS, and a 2020 study showed that a little over half the people diagnosed with RIS go on to develop multiple sclerosis within 10 years. And currently, there are no treatment guidelines for radiologically isolated syndrome. So Yale University has announced a multi-center study to investigate whether short-term treatment with Ocrevus can delay or prevent the onset of MS in people with radiologically isolated syndrome. The study opens in July at 20 sites around the world, and it's going to involve 100 adults between the ages of 18 and 40 who've been diagnosed with RIS within the past 5 years. Study participants will be followed for up to 7 years. And if you'd like to learn more about this clinical trial, you'll find a link in today's show notes. At the top of this episode, I mentioned that one of the very challenging symptoms of MS is foot drop, because it's a symptom that can lead to tripping and falling, especially on stairs. And those falls can have very serious consequences. Often the recommended treatment for rehabilitating foot drop is using a heavy, bothersome brace. Pierluigi Mantovani's father lives with MS, and when Pierluigi looked into what was available to help his father, he was motivated to do better. So he recruited a couple of friends, and their efforts led to a new breakthrough solution for foot drop that was declared the winner of the Lifebulb and Bristol-Myers Squibb Addressing Unmet Needs in MS Innovation Challenge. In a moment, we'll meet my guest, the co-founder and CEO of Evolution Devices, Pierluigi Mantovani. Pierluigi Mantovani is the co-founder and CEO of Evolution Devices, and he's also the winner of this year's Lifebulb Bristol-Myers Squibb Innovation Challenge in Multiple Sclerosis. Welcome to the podcast, Pierluigi, and congratulations on your win.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
They say that necessity is a mother of invention, so I'm hoping you'll tell us what smart stimulation therapy is all about, but I'm also hoping you'll tell us why you focused your efforts on developing this technology.
Of course. I'll start with kind of the background on why we started. So we started a little over 3.5 years ago. It was a solution for my dad. My dad has had multiple sclerosis for, I think, about 15 years. Now, or just a little bit longer than that. And, you know, as it progressed, he got worse and worse and started to kind of lose his ability to walk. He started like tripping, falling more often. And at this point, I was in school. I actually had just graduated and I was doing research at UCSF. And he was given this brace, right? This brace called an AFO. Which I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with listening to this, but it's just, you know, the cheapest option that he was given. It was supposed to kind of hold his foot in place so that he would stop tripping and falling. And it was really bulky. He didn't like using it. And, you know, seeing it, it was like, from my perspective, it was just kind of like, why, if he stopped using it, he stopped using it altogether, basically. Because it was so bulky and so hard to put on. And for something to be given to him to use to kind of solve this one issue and for him to just stop using it altogether, I knew there was, you know, definitely something going on there that we could fix, we should fix. You know, we found out it's called, what he had at that time is called foot drop. Basically, when your nerve stops firing to the appropriate muscle to help pick up your foot when you walk. So at that time, I was doing research in neurostimulation. And my now co-founders helped build the first prototype for my dad, where we built this device. Pretty hacky at the time, right? We just kind of like put something together. My dad was happy enough to try it out. We just taped it around his leg. And what it did was kind of read where he was in his walking cycle and applied a little bit of electrical stimulation to that muscle and nerve region to help pick up his foot when he walked. It worked pretty well at that time. Obviously not perfect, but good enough for us to see that we could do something with this. You know, we had a pretty strong background in software engineering, data science, you know, obviously neuroscience. And we kind of went for it. We saw that there was a lot of people that needed this. And ever since then, we've been kind of building out what we have now.
So the name of your device, if I get it right, is EvoWalk. How does that compare with other devices that are designed to help manage foot drop? Was there anything else available besides that one bulky brace that your father was given in the beginning?
Yeah, so that's typically the standard of care. Like, a lot of people are given those braces, but there are some devices that are out that use stimulation. So these devices, there was also another issue with it when, you know, especially at the time, you know, I was kind of helping my dad through the process, and we found the stimulation devices that existed were based on pretty outdated technology. They were not super slim, really stiff to put on, not easy to put on. You needed the help of someone to be there with you to put it on, but they're also really expensive. They were going for, like, I can't remember at the time, you know, about $5,000 for the base model. And for someone to be given something like that with pretty outdated technology, it wasn't a great option, you know? So you had to balance between using something that held your foot up in place with a brace that was cheap, or pay a lot of money that the insurance might have covered, typically doesn't, you know, for that type of price range. And, you know, those were the only options that he had.
When I visit your company's website, it looks like there's the physical component, the EvoWalk device itself, but there's also an app that sort of works with it. Can you talk about how that all works together?
Yeah, of course. That's something that we're really excited about with this. I'm glad you brought it up, is that, you know, we built the EvoWalk to use kind of this new software approach, right? Using the ability to use these algorithms to take information about how people are walking over time. So not only does it stimulate at the right time to help you pick up your foot, but it also extracts information about how you're walking. A big piece of feedback that we got was that people wanted to kind of take ownership over their whole rehab process, right? The entire process of, like, being able to know if they're getting better, if they're taking not just more steps, but how their walking is changing over time. So we used the algorithm to time the stimulation better than anything that exists, but also extract information. So that connects to the app that you brought up. And in that app, we show the information to the person using the device, right? So they can see how they're progressing. But we also match them up with a physical therapist. So a physical therapist can then remotely help the person that they're working with actually personalize a routine for them, right? Give them exercises, check in on goals that they both set together, right? Like, some people wanted to reach 5,000 steps a day. Some people wanted to be able to walk to get the mail. Some people wanted to get to the point where they can get to a 5K again. But all these goals basically are things that you can do virtually with a physical therapist. And they can review the data and help set up goals. And the person using the device can also check in, see how they're doing, adjust stimulation. Like, this idea that we really stuck to was helping people take ownership over their own rehab process, right? So that's kind of where that app comes into play.
What impresses me about that is not only does it allow someone to take ownership of their own rehab process, but it also allows them, working with that physical therapist, to create an evidence-based program for themselves, as opposed to hoping something works in their favor.
Yeah, that's huge. It's a great point. That's huge, especially in the field of physical therapy. Like, a lot of things became remote, obviously, right, with the pandemic. And a lot of things that happened with physical therapy was you'd go in originally before pre-pandemic, you'd go in, you know, the eye tests, and there'd be some qualitative tests like sit to stand, they would time you and stuff. But what we're trying to bring is kind of complementing that with this quantitative data, what you're talking about, this evidence-based, like, what can we change day to day to help improve, not just help pick up the foot, but, like, assign certain exercises to help improve your strength around your quad, improve your strength around your hip, you know, all these things that are super necessary to be able to generally walk better. Right. And then you can see it over time. That's all. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, 'cause that's something that we're really trying to push for, is helping, like, kind of the holistic idea of how to improve your walking and using data to do that.
Well, this sounds like it's way better than just downloading an app from the App Store. So what are the steps that someone will go through for using the EvoWalk?
So right now, we are still pre-FDA clearance, right? But we have been in kind of pilot mode. We have been doing some smaller scale pilots and also working with some rehab centers. So right now, the way that it would work is, if you can be a part of the pilot, we would match you up with a physical therapist to do an initial session, kind of initial value. It's all virtual. You do an initial evaluation, see what the needs are, what the goals are, and then you would get a device sent to you and have another session where you would get the training, all virtually again, get the training, set up the goals, just make sure everything is working properly. And then you would check in. We're doing a few different pilot studies, but you would typically check in at least once a week with the physical therapist, either getting new exercises or, you know, reassign the goals. And I think once we do get the FDA clearance, it's going to look really similar to that. You know, it's all, the idea is to be able to do it all virtually so that it can be more convenient for people. And so far it's worked really well too in the pilots that we've done previously, but yeah, we're on track for being able to do everything kind of from home. So that's where we're at.
So how can people get more information about EvoWalk?
Like I mentioned before, our website is www.evolutiondevices.com. And on there, you'll see a lot of info about the EvoWalk and about us, some of our previous results to some of the other pilot studies that we've done. And we'll keep updating. You can sign up for the mailing list there. We're trying to do something where we're updating people on at least a monthly basis through the mailing list to just show the progress, where we're at. I know a lot of people ask about when we'll launch. Our goal right now for launch date is by the end of the year. Hopefully by the end of the year, maybe at the start of next year, depending on the FDA clearance, but we'll keep giving people all those updates through the mailing list. We're hoping to ramp up the social media too, which is at Instagram at Evolution Devices, Facebook, LinkedIn. We're pretty active. So yeah.
So what does your father think about your company's technology?
My dad likes it. My dad, he's our number one tester with every new feature, you know? So I think he's excited about that. But he uses it all the time. It was great. Especially when we got to the point where the device was stable enough for him to keep, you know, there's a lot of times where he would use it, he would like it, but it wasn't at the point where it was strong enough that they're like resistance wise, you know, some of the things that my dad put it through, like these battle tests where just snap, the wires would break off, you know, all these things like we fixed for it, but he loves it now, you know, now he can use it every day. So things at this point, you know, he's using it. He's super happy. And I think he's happy to see that we're close to getting it to a lot more people too.
Pier Luigi Montovani, again, congratulations on being named winner of this year's Lifebulb Bristol-Myers Squibb Innovation Challenge in Multiple Sclerosis. Thanks for devoting your efforts to making life better for people who are living with MS. And thanks for talking with me today.
Of course. Yeah, we love it. Thanks, John. Love the Real Talk MS podcast. So appreciate it.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. And you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/194. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into your email or text. And now I have a favor to ask. It would mean a lot to me if you would leave a rating and review for Real Talk MS. Just point your web browser at realtalkms.com/review, and you'll see links to the different online destinations that you can choose from to leave that rating and review. And those links will be different for each of you because they're based upon the software that you happen to be using to listen to podcasts, or at least have installed on your phone, tablet, or desktop computer. For instance, if you happen to be using an Android phone to listen to Real Talk MS, you won't see a link to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, because you can't leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you're using an Android phone. I hope that makes sense. It's just a little bit of technology that makes leaving a rating and review super easy. So I hope you'll take a moment, visit realtalkms.com/review, and leave a rating and review for Real Talk MS. You'll find that link in today's show notes. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.